Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Praise the Lord. So good to be before you this morning. God is so wonderful. Let's just pray as we go into God's Word. Lord, we thank you. Lord, once again, for this opportunity just to come into your presence, to be here with your people, to just get into your Word. We pray, Lord, that we'll be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'll speak to us, God, that we will hear you, and that we will put into practice all that you say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask for you to just read with me in the book of 1 Samuel. It's here on your sheet if you have the page of scriptures that we distributed this morning. We're just going to read first in the book of 1 Samuel. You just be patient as we read through this fairly lengthy passage, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're reading verses 17 through 37. And as you'll see, this is a story about David. We're getting a picture here of David as he engages in the fight against the Philistine giant. So beginning reading in verse 17, and it says, thank you. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are doing and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch this battle. Now what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." I'd like to read also this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, and it reads, "Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching." This message is entitled, "Set an Example." Set an example. And we see here from this passage in 1 Timothy, this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, who he called his true son in the faith. He was Paul's assistant, and he wrote this letter to him, and Paul instructed Timothy to really, and entrusted him to help to monitor and to help to encourage the church. But one of the things that he knew was an obstacle was Timothy's youth, and he said to Timothy, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example," as we see the ways in which he's to set an example. Have you ever been looked down on? Ever been despised, dismissed, dissed? You know, it's interesting. You know, Pastor Ross and I like to watch documentaries. And there was an interesting one on Public Broadcasting Network about this woman who was autistic. And the name of the documentary was "The Woman Who Thinks Like a Cat." Maybe some of you saw this, "The Woman Who Thinks Like a Cow." In any event, this is a woman, she was autistic, she was sort of set aside and dismissed just because of that fact. But she had a unique way of seeing the world, a unique way of thinking, a unique way of responding to stimuli. And because of that special way that she saw the world, she thought in pictures. Now, all of us have the ability to think in pictures, but this woman always saw things in pictures. And it gave her a unique ability to work with certain types of animals. She found that she could connect and understand the way animals saw the world because she saw things in a similar fashion. So eventually, after she was able to graduate from college, she went on to graduate school, and she started working in an industry that had a set way of doing things. We're talking about working with cattle. We're talking about that type of work. They had a way of doing things. They were very set in their ways. They were very much convinced that their way of doing things was the right way to approach it. And here comes this woman with a completely different theory, completely different way of addressing the challenges of dealing with cows and getting them to cooperate and seeing that the industry thrives and that the animals were treated in a humane way. And as the documentary demonstrated, initially she was abused. She was dismissed. No one thought what she had to say had any importance. They thought she was crazy. They thought she was ridiculous. They completely undermined her attempts to make changes. But instead of giving up, She pursued. She persevered. She pressed. And eventually, her way of doing things gained some traction. And in fact, she's known for transforming the way that entire industry operates because she continued to move forward. Maybe some of you, when I ask that question, have you ever been dissed, dismissed? I saw a lot of heads nodding. Folks could identify. But what I find really exciting and what I find challenging about this passage of scripture, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Don't let it happen. Folks are going to try to look down on you. Folks are going to try to dismiss you. Folks are going to try to discard what you have to say. Don't let it happen, Timothy. That's what Paul is saying. And we see such a great example in terms of someone not allowing themselves to be looked down upon because they're young in David. You know, we look at this passage in 1 Samuel. So here's David. He's really been assigned the task by his father to go down and bring everybody some cheese sandwiches. Right, some loaves of bread, some tin cheeses. Take those down there. Bring him some lunch. That's your job, David. Go bring them some lunch. And then come back and report to me what's been happening down there. I want to know what's going on. But your job is basically to bring some lunch, come back with a report. That's it. But when he gets down there, he overhears something that stirs within him, something that's been invested within him. He gets down there, and he hears the boasting of Goliath. He hears Goliath defying his God. He doesn't stand for it. All the Israelites, the ones who were prepared, presumably, to take on this challenge, they're shrinking back in fear. They're running away in great distress and fear. But David's response is, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this giant? And of course, as he's overheard, first his brother is very upset, his oldest brother. Why'd you come down here, he said. And who'd you leave those sheep with? Why are you here, number one? Number two, you're supposed to be about caring for the sheep. Where are the sheep? But David had left them protected with a shepherd. He was good. He was down there because his father sent him down there. Not of his own accord, his father sent him down there to do something. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. That's the charge that his oldest brother levied against him. I know how conceited you are. You just came down here to watch the battle. You know, if that were true, this would not have ended the way that it did. If David was only down there to build up his own sense of self-esteem, to just get himself pumped up, if he was just conceited, if he was just all about himself, we would not have seen the victory that ensued in this confrontation. But no. David was not there because he was conceited. He was there because he was determined to see God glorified. He was determined to be used as a servant of the Lord to defeat an enemy, not only of himself, but of his entire people. He was determined to see victory won for the Israelites. And he recognized that there was a preparation that God had been doing within him through his work as a shepherd. One thing to recognize is that God, he does one thing to do another. God is amazingly efficient. Have you noticed that in your life? He is amazingly efficient and effective. God does not waste time. God does not procrastinate. God is extremely efficient in everything that he does within us. So as he's doing one thing with David as a shepherd, he's doing another. Because during that time, David faced some obstacles. David faced some challenges. David had to demonstrate some courage. David had to go out and to defend. He had lions and bears going after him. He had lions and bears stealing or attempting to steal the sheep that he was entrusted to protect. And as a good shepherd, he went after the lion and the bear, struck them down and killed them, protected and rescued the sheep that had been entrusted to him. And David recognized that just as God had delivered him in that role as a shepherd, God was just using that as a time of preparation. David, this is important. There are sheep you're responsible for. So when the lion and the bear come, trust me to deliver you as you confront those challenges and obstacles. I'm with you, David. So David was growing his faith. David was growing in his level of courage. David was growing in his ability to trust God. And now he's remembering the fact, God delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear. God's going to deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And see, Saul recognized God's doing something in this young man. Go, and the Lord be with you. Okay. We have all these fighting men. They're running away afraid. Here you are, a young boy. Don't look too promising. But now that I hear you say something about what God has done in your life and how he's prepared you, go and the Lord be with you. Sounds good to me. He's got a testimony. Yes. So David went, and we know the story about how he defeated Goliath. But the scripture says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, as we said about David, that challenge, that confrontation from his older brother, that charge against him that you're conceited and you only came down here to watch the battle, we see that that's not true. And we see from David the type of attitude we ought to have as we are confronting the enemy, as we're being used by God as his servant, is an attitude towards glorifying God and not glorifying ourselves. So let's look at how we can set this example in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Have you ever told someone, you be an example? Maybe you heard it yourself, you be an example. I know I've told that to my children, you be an example for others. You might be just about the same age that they are. I love to tell the story of my daughter when she was a junior camp counselor. And at the time that she was a junior camp counselor, she was 14. Some of the counselors were 13. So you had counselors that were maybe 8 to 13, and here the junior camp counselors were 14. So suddenly now at 14, the campers were up to 13. And the counselor, the junior counselor, was 14. So she had to distinguish herself from the campers as a junior counselor. Now I'm 14, I'm a junior counselor. So setting an example for others means I'm not going to allow myself to just fall back into the crowd. I'm willing to take on some responsibility. I'm willing to allow other people to follow me. I'm willing to take a risk. I'm willing to push forward even though people may want to just dismiss me. And I'm doing it for the good of others. Set an example for the believers in speech. Colossians 3, 8 through 10 says we must rid ourselves for all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Being an example in speech. Do you see from verse 8 that all these things are emanating from one's lips? Anger from your lips. Rage from your lips. Malice from your lips. Slander from your lips. Filthy language from your lips. Lying to each other. Don't do it. Since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You know, this is an area that needs constant review and attention in our lives. Why is it so important what we say? Why is it so important how we speak to one another? And as we see from the scripture there in Luke, one of the reasons why it's so important what we say, how we speak, is because it reflects our heart. Luke 6:45 says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks." Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we are typically or often engaged in this type of speech, anger, angry words, rage, malice, when we're slandering each other, when we are, our mouths are filled with filthy language, there's a heart problem. It just doesn't come out of nowhere. There's a heart problem, and that overflow is just bubbling forth from our mouths, bubbling forth from our lips. So we need to have good things stored up in our heart if we want good things to flow out of our mouths. Good things need to be stored up there. There's a transformation. We've taken off the old self. We put on the new self. It's being renewed in the knowledge of the image of our Creator. So we need to be diligent about putting good things into our heart. You see, the heart is the place of our character. It's not just the seat of emotion, it's the seat of emotion and intellect. It's our character that's reflected there in our heart. So we need to take care to pour good things into our heart. So if you are engaged in slander of your brothers and sisters, if anger, rage, malice are emanating from your lips, if you're lying. No, lying is a big issue. And lying is something that I think just about every person has probably done at one point in their life. Maybe you're the exception, but I think most people, at one time or another, have lied. And why do we lie? Why do we lie to each other? The word says, don't lie to each other. Don't do it. Be honest with each other. Don't lie. You know, we see from that picture of Sarah. Remember when the Lord appeared to Abraham and told Abraham Sarah's going to have a son? And Sarah laughed. But then she tried to play it off. Like she hadn't laughed. So, no, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. I heard it. You laughed. And it says she was afraid. That's why she lied. Fear. Trying to protect ourselves. Are reasons why people lie. The word says don't do it. Be honest with one another. You know, we have opportunities in our coming together in small groups to be honest with each other, to disclose the truth to one another. And I want to encourage you to do that. Because it's something that should characterize us as believers. You know, here at Life Church, and as interesting as I think about not allowing people to despise you because you're young, hearing from God and doing the things according to God's will and God's word, speaking forth the truth as God reveals it to you. It's all about doing things according to God's plan and not according to tradition, not according to habit. You know, the word talks about pouring new wine into new wineskins in Matthew chapter 9. It's not on your sheet. But the instruction is to pour new wine into new wineskins. And the picture here, and there's also an illustration about not sewing cloth into, unshrunk cloth into a garment, because then when it shrinks, it's going to pull and cause a bigger tear. But also not to pour new wine into old wineskins. Why not? Because the new wine, this fresh grape juice, when it's poured into the wineskin, it ferments, and that causes the wineskin to expand. If you've got an old wineskin, it's already expanded as far as it can expand, and there's some new wine poured in, when that fermentation process starts, it's going to burst. The wine's going to be spoiled. The wineskin's going to be destroyed. But rather pour new wine into new wineskins. See, then when the fermentation process takes place, that new wineskin can expand. It's doing things differently as God instructs. And I want to encourage you here at Life Church, God has given us a vision and a purpose to do things in a new way. And we have to be willing to not allow ourselves to be despised because God has given us something new to do for Him. But our attitude has to be the right attitude. Just as David had the attitude of serving the Lord, I'm not going to let this uncircumcised Philistine defeat the armies of Israel. It's not out of personal conceit. It's not about self-aggrandizement, but it's about doing the will of God as He sent me to do it. We have to reflect, as Paul instructed Timothy to do here, the type of love and the type of life that God has instructed us to illustrate. Don't let anyone look down on you, but set an example to others. So as God is moving us forward, let's see how we can set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. But this important area of speech, as we said, number one, it's reflective of how our heart has been conditioned, how our heart has been fed. Because if we pour into our heart things that are unwholesome, that's what's going to come out. What goes in comes out. So how are you feeding your heart? Are you feeding your heart on the Word of God? And this is not, you know, I don't want to guilt trip anybody. Because, I mean, I think we all want to do better in this whole area of reading the Word, right? I mean, who doesn't want to read the Word more? Everybody would probably raise their hand. I'm not reading the Word of God as much as I would like to read the Word of God or think I should. Okay, we are all there. But we can all do incrementally better in terms of feeding our heart with the Word of God, in terms of meditating on God's Word. You know, you've heard that expression, it's quality, not quantity. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's quality and quantity. But quality is key here. Are you spending time meditating on God's Word? Meditating. Have you ever marinated like a piece of meat? Isn't it different than just brushing on some seasoning right before you throw the thing on the grill? You just brush on the seasoning. When you taste that meat, a little bit of flavor. But oh, when you marinate it. Put that bad boy in a plastic bag in your refrigerator with some great seasonings. They seep in there overnight. You give it a good 8 hours, maybe 12 hours. Let it marinate. The succulent flavor, the juiciness, the moisture, it's just delicious and yummy. When you let it marinate. And see, the same thing is true with the Word of God. You got to marinate. You got to meditate. You got to let it seep in to your being. Don't just let it brush over you. Let it seep into you. And that happens when we meditate on God's Word. We're talking about pouring things into our heart so they can come out. See, because whatever's in there, it's going to come out. Sooner or later, you can only fake the funk so long. Sooner or later, it's going to come out, whatever's inside of you. It's like a tea bag in hot water. Sooner or later, what's inside is going to seep out. And we're going to taste the flavor. We're going to smell the aroma, whatever it is, whether it's sweet or foul. We're going to smell it. We're going to taste it. So meditating on God's Word. Spending some time. You can think about the Word of God while you're on your way. Don't just read it and let that be it. Think about it. Remember what you read. Consider it as you go throughout your day. God's going to show you some things. It's going to transform your life. It's so easy to just read the Word and then just forget about what you read. But that's not how we should operate as believers. We need to read it and really let it sink in. Really let it transform our heart. So that's what comes forth in our speech. Not the anger, not the rage, not the malice, not the slander, or the filthy language, or the lying. But let's be honest with one another. You know, the Word talks about confessing our sins to each other and praying for each other so that we can be healed. Another thing we can do with our speech in terms of setting an example, confessing our sins one to another. You know, this whole area of, we talked about lying and some of the fear that promotes or prompts a person to lie, and that desire for self-protection that precedes, you know, the lying and sort of the covering up. But in the body of Christ, this is our opportunity to be real. This is our opportunity to be vulnerable and to be exposed to one another. It's a challenge, but I want to encourage you to take on the challenge, because that's what the body of Christ is about. It's about not lying to each other. It's about being willing to reveal, this is who I am. This is what's going on with me. Can you help a sister out? Because see, that's the next step. Here's what I'm going through. This is who I am. This is what I'm struggling with. These are my challenges. Here's how God's really been blessing me. Here's how I've gained victory. It's not just the negative, but the positive as well, what God is doing in your life. Sharing it with other people, that's an encouragement. But where there are challenges, to be able to say, I'm struggling in this area. Can you help a sister out? And see, the whole process of confessing our sins one to another, there's an opportunity for what? Praying for each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. It doesn't stop at the confession. There's a prayer component. And then the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. See, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to stay stuck where we are. Don't let the enemy fool you. Don't let the enemy discourage you. You may have been in that place for years on end. Do not stay stuck. You don't have to be stuck. See, there's a process here. We're feeding our heart what it needs. Wholesome things, the Word of God. We're confessing to each other. We're being honest and open and revealing to one another. We're not hiding. We talk about the proverbial mask. I know I wore a mask. I know what the mask looks like. The mask with a painted on smile. The mask that says everything's okay all the time in my life. I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm favored. That's a mask. See, there's a process of confession. There's a process of disclosure. There's a process of prayer where real healing can come forth. That's what we want. To be healed, to be whole, to be used by God. So we got to take the mask off. The mask got to go. It's just another way of lying. See, not only are we not to lie, we're not to deceive each other. We're not to lie, we're not to deceive, we're not to steal. Don't deceive. See, that's a little more tricky. It's one thing to not, well, I didn't tell a flat out lie. I just made you think something that wasn't true. That's called deceiving. See, you're not supposed to do that. Don't lie, don't deceive. Okay? That's all part of the process of taking off. Don't lie. Take off the old self with its practices. See, that's the old way of doing things. I got to self-protect. I got to lie. I got to conceal. Because I don't know whether you got my best interest at heart. Find somebody who does have your best interest at heart here in the body of Christ. There are brothers and sisters who love you and want nothing but best, the best for you, good things for you. Trust your brothers and sisters. Mature believers that can pray for you. They're not really gossiping about your business, no. But want to pray for you, see you healed. so we can stop lying to each other. Stop deceiving each other. So here are a couple ways that we can, again, set an example in speech by not allowing our mouths to be instruments of anger and rage and slander, not allowing our mouths to lie. And again, it's not just a matter of discipline, it's a matter of having a heart, having character from which the good things in speech emanate. We want to be people of integrity in our speech. And the word says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. So be people of integrity. Have you heard the expression to under promise and over deliver? You want to under promise and over deliver. So not say you're going to do such and such and so, you're going to be at this place. Sometimes we have a tendency to overpromise. Why? We feel guilty. We feel pressured. We want to look good. Whatever the motivation, we may be tempted to overpromise what we can actually deliver upon. Don't do it. Because then you're going to say yes, but ultimately it'll be no. Because you didn't follow through, you didn't come through, you didn't deliver on what you promised. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Be people of integrity. It's a discipline. Sometimes we want to please other people and it gets in the way. But we need to step back and say, okay, Lord, these are all good things that I could potentially do. What would you have me to do right now? Because I'm going to have to say, I can't be everywhere. Unfortunately, I can only be one place at one time. I'm a finite human being. And if some of us have to struggle with that reality, I'm a finite human being. There's only so much I can do. There's only so many places I can be. I need to balance my life. I need some rest sometimes. I need some R&R, I need some relaxation every now and then. I need a Sabbath. So we have to say no sometimes to what might otherwise be good things. Just say no from the start. Isn't it better to just say no than to say yes and then you're like, oh, why did I say yes to that? Why did I commit myself to doing that thing? I can't do that. Have you been there? I think we've all been there. We committed ourselves like, oh man, what was I thinking about? Why did I commit myself? Why did I burden myself? Now someone's depending on me. Now they expect me to be there. Now they're trusting me with this task. I'm not going to fall through. I'm going to look bad. They're going to be disappointed. We're all going to be upset. Say no. Just cut through it all. No, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Love ya. Wish I could, but I can't. Nothing personal. But it's letting your yes be yes and your no, no, be people of integrity. So we're going to continue next week this lesson on setting an example. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward as we're closing out this morning. Hallelujah. We're about to set an example this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray for you as we just close out this portion. We'll still take up our offering and have some time of worship and praise. But let me just pray for you this morning. If you're hearing the Lord speak to you about this whole area, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Perhaps the Lord is speaking to you this whole area of setting an example in speech, setting an example in your life, being people of integrity, letting go of lying, of self-protection, of the mask, of hiding. Maybe God's challenging you in this area of rage and anger and prompting you to just pour into your heart and to confess to your brothers and sisters so that they can pray and you'll be healed. Just cry out to the Lord this morning, if that's you, just as you have bowed your head and your eyes are closed. Lord, we thank you for your people. Thank you for what you're doing within each life. Thank you for what you're doing within us as a body of believers. Help us, God, to not lie to one another, to be willing, God, to be vulnerable with one another. And God, we just thank you for the healing that will ensue as a result. God, just bless your people this morning. Build each one up in you. And we thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.